You're listening to the New Mamas Podcast. I am so excited to welcome Jamie to the pod. I've known her for a little over a year now, and we're both part of the blogging community in New Jersey. Jamie shares the real reel about motherhood, colorful and simple recipes, creamy iced coffee, and her journey through life and now motherhood. She and her husband, Mark, welcomed her daughter, Daisy, to the world back in September and is about to go back to work. And that's what we're talking about today because it's fresh and there's so many emotions. I remember what it was like, so I'm excited to hear how she's planning. Jamie, welcome to the pod.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I am just super excited to have you because going back to work, not that not a lot of people talk about it. People talk about it, but I don't know. What do you think? What's your take on it? Like how?
I feel like no one, or I feel like I never thought of this part for postpartum, like to be included. I was like, baby comes, great, all is well in the world, and never thought of the next transition afterwards.
Yep.
So I think it kind of just hit me when I realized I have 1 month left, and then I've been counting down the days ever since, and now I'm down to like 6 days left.
And how long of a maternity leave did you have?
I'm pretty lucky. I work as a school counselor in an elementary school, so I have that school schedule. So it lined up perfectly that I was due in September. So when I stopped school in June, I got to be like real pregnant all summer, not at work. And then baby came. I never had to go back to work until now. I'm going back next week. So she's going to be 5 months by the time I go back.
That's amazing. The maternity leave in America just famously sucks. I think the standard is usually 6 to 8 weeks. If you're lucky, some companies give 12 weeks. How do you feel about 5 months? Like, did that feel long enough for you, or would you have preferred more? Like, how are you feeling about that?
So originally, well, first she came like a week later than her due date. So once I realized she was not coming on her due date, I immediately called HR and I was like, you know what? I think I need to extend it 1 month. First, I did like the school maternity leave. Then I did FMLA through the New Jersey state. And then I just took 1 month unpaid, honestly, because I was like, I don't want to go back when she's like, I think she was not going to be even 4 months. And to me, that didn't feel like enough time. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have her yet, but I think I was panicking before.
Good for you.
So I extended it an extra month just to get me to that 5 month mark where I felt like, okay, she'll have her head supported, I hope, by then. A little bit more sturdy of a baby, you know, chunkier. So I felt like in my head, 5 months would be good. And I mean, I would say, yes, I don't want to go back to work yet, but I think it was a good amount of time, to be honest.
I feel like I remember seeing the light at like 3-4 months. Like I remember, I'm like, okay, we're out of the newborn stage. You're right. They're a little chunkier and a little bit more supported. I feel like ideally 6 months would be the best maternity leave.
Yeah, I would think if I were to pick, it would be probably 6 months.
That's really awesome. I love to hear that you had a good extended maternity leave and the choice to take 1 month unpaid. I think I would have liked that. I don't know why. I don't think I was allowed to. I didn't qualify for FMLA.
Oh.
Yeah, you have to be with an employer for 1 year, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I wasn't. How are you feeling about going back to work next week?
I feel like I'm like going up and down a lot. Like when it hit that 1 month mark, I feel like I was most emotional, like just dreading like, oh my God, you know, I have to wear work clothes again. I have to wake up at a certain time. I have to get out of the house and like literally not be in sweatpants and a ponytail every day. Like, I think there's a dress code this year. Last year, they were a little loose because of COVID. So like, I don't think I could wear jeans, leggings, all that type of stuff. It's more dressy. So as a postpartum mom who had body image issues before, I was like, I do not want to wear dress pants yet. Like that was kind of triggering, I think, for me to like go in my closet, try on my old work clothes and realize like, nah, not happening. I think that's when I was like, I need to change my mindset. And I know it's so little, but like getting new clothes for work, I think was a good step for me because I was like, I want to feel good every day I go to work. I'm not going to like want to be wearing tight pants. That was the first thing I did to prep to go back. It sounds vain, but I think like just feeling comfortable, like with yourself and your body, your new body, was going to help me a lot down the long run. So now I'm like kind of excited that I have cute clothes to go back to work in as like a little win.
I love that. I actually never thought about that as like a nice way to transition into the next chapter. I would say I would feel like most moms in postpartum probably need to explore a new wardrobe just because our bodies do change. And that's just like the that is the reality of it. So I love that you did that. That's really cool.
I was like trying to make sure it didn't. I was like, it was more triggering for me to try on tight pants than it is to buy like a bigger size. So I was like, let's just go one size up, be comfortable, get some new cute things, try some things out. So I think that was my first step to be like, all right, this is real. I have to go back to work. I have to get like in clothes.
Yes, I love that. And I feel like if you feel good physically, like having cute new clothes, it does go inside as well. Like you do start to feel good emotionally too. I know at least for me, that's been my experience too.
Yeah.
Do you think that the hardest part of the thoughts of going back to work has been that sort of new routine that you're envisioning? Like, how are you nervous at all about leaving Daisy? Or can you walk me through what your feelings are around how your emotions have been through that?
So I think like one, a totally new routine. Like right now it's like we wake up, we hang in bed, we cuddle, you know, I go and grab Duncan. It's like just been very nice to just chill and relax at home with her and have like literally 24/7 with her. I think going from that to then having to be at work until 4 p.m., the school schedule, it feels like that's the entire day because, you know, I'm up at work, have to leave by 7:30, home by 4, which also, again, I do want to preface that like a school schedule is a very nice schedule for a mom or a parent, or at least at my school is. I have to be there at 8:20 and I get to leave at 3:20. So that I'm grateful for. But still, that's like the whole day because you go home and they're going to bed almost like in 2 or 3 hours and it feels like you have no time with them. So I think I'm worried about like the bond kind of going away. I think that's been in my head a lot. Is she going to, you know, be smiling big when I get home when she's, you know, with her grandparents all day? Like, I hope she gets excited. And then am I going to be too tired to like want to do stuff when I get home? I think I worry about like my energy level. And then I worry that while I'm at work, I'm going to be worrying about her. So I think that's the main one is like, I want to be able to be at work and work and like kind of have a separate, you know, identity then and get back into like the working stuff. But I don't want to be thinking nonstop about like what's going on with her.
That's actually a really good transition. And thank you for sharing all of that. That's all so real. I feel like every mom, like the routine is just different.
Yeah.
And it's almost like jarring, right? Like you go from having these nice slow mornings with your baby to all of a sudden you have to like be there at a certain time. And it's very jarring going from that to a full scale work schedule again. So I know you said that the school schedule sounds nice, but to me, it does sound like an actually like kind of a long day.
Yeah.
When you're coming from maternity leave. What does your childcare situation look like?
So my husband, he does, he's a nurse practitioner part-time. So he sees patients in their houses a few times a week. So he's able to be a little bit more flexible. He also does real estate, but he could do a lot of that like at home. So we basically turned half of our room into his office. So Daisy will be with him Mondays, which I'm very happy about. I feel like that's like, he's so excited that he gets to be flexible with his work and get a whole day with her. So that makes me happy. And then my mother-in-law is going to be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with a little help from my father-in-law a few days because he also is a nurse part-time. So we have a great setup. I'm so happy that people are coming to our house. I don't have to drop off. I don't have to pack a bag. That is a whole, like, you do that. I'm pretty sure you do daycare.
Oh, girl. Yeah.
So it's like, my best friend does daycare. And it's like, that's a whole nother level of a superwoman mom where you have to like get yourself and the child out by a certain time. Like that is a lot. They're going to be here. I think where my anxiety comes with that is they live in Jersey City, which is about like a 45-minute drive. So my worry is like, are they going to hit traffic? Are they going to get here on time? Because like, I have to be at work at a certain time. More of my anxiety is like the commute than it is actually them like physically being here when they get here.
I had no idea. I thought they lived like much closer.
No. So they're like a pretty hefty drive just if there's traffic or something. So I think that's been on my mind because that is something not in my control. Like I literally cannot choose how traffic is that day. My hope is that they get here on time and I know they're responsible, but it's also they can't choose that either. So I can't be upset if they're a little late. Like, you know, Mark thankfully has a little bit more flexibility. He could see a patient later in the day.
Okay.
So he's going to probably have her in the morning all the days. until they get here.
Yeah, that is hard. My in-laws are also about 45 minutes away, and it's
okay.
Yeah, it's not the most ideal. I wish they were like 20 minutes away.
Yeah, 20 sounds like a nice number.
I'm sure they are so excited, because I feel like there's nothing more that in-laws love than to feel needed when it comes to the baby.
Yes, totally right.
Yeah. So how did you make that choice? Did you and Mark make that choice together, or did you sort of lead that charge?
So we actually, right, I think before she came, I was like, you know what? I just want to meet her first. Like, I don't want to think about childcare. Little did I know that daycares, like, there's waiting lists and like crazy. So all my friends are warning me, like, you can't just think about this after she comes. You might want to start thinking about it. So me and Mark were actually leaning towards daycare because, like, I'm a social person. He's pretty social. Like, we wanted the social aspect of the daycare and, like, knowing that a professional is taking care of her, all of that. But then when we brought it up to his parents jumped on it right away and was like, we would love to watch her until she's around 1 year old. So I was like, we can't miss out on that. Like, they offered. What is awkward, which I'll be honest about here, is like, they're not my parents. If it was my parents, I don't know how we would go about the paying, but I don't think my parents would accept it. So they're Mark's parents, and money's an awkward talk, of course. I was like, Mark, I think you have to like take that. They're your parents. Like, you work out the money with them if they want money. So still to this day, 6 days out, I don't know what we're doing. Like, are we paying them? Are we not? I think we're going to like maybe give them an envelope on Friday and see how they react and then go from there. But I don't really know how that works.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe like, I never thought of that either. I think, yeah, you could just even reimbursing for gas money.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, it's a big drive, so I definitely want to cover gas.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would take much more than gas money. So
No. I doubt they would want to take your money. But yeah, that's an interesting point. And it is so awkward, you know, when it is not your parents.
It's just awkward, like, that they're not your parents. And it's, yeah, and money is just like very sticky to talk about, especially like, I don't want to talk about that with his mom. I'd rather that be out of my hands. And then it's like, if they are being paid, it's like, I don't know. I almost, it feels different, because then it's like their job almost more than like them being grandparents. I don't know. I think it'll be a day by day type thing. And I am not a day by day type girl. I'm more like, I want to know what's going on. Like, I think daycare in my head sounded a little bit more me. It would be a drop-off time, a pickup time.
Yeah.
They send you, you know, stuff throughout the day. You know, you get notes, I'm sure. But like, this is kind of like, I don't know what to expect, really.
Oh, I'm so with you. I'm such a planner. Also, I feel like we have very similar personalities.
Yes.
Like, whenever I watch your stories, I'm like, oh, it's like watching me talk. But yeah,
I think the same.
Well, I think it's like a good, like, you could do this for a little bit and then you can explore daycare if it doesn't work. That's like a, kind of the nice thing about childcare is, although there are waiting lists, like, you can still feel it out what the right option is for you. And if you have to hire like a nanny or a babysitter to help if like Mark's parents can't come every single day, like, I feel like it's malleable, but it is such a big and hard choice. And I kind of feel like there's no right answer and there's no perfect solution, because there's literally pros and cons with like each one you pick.
That's what I'm realizing.
Yeah. And then when it comes to daycare, it's like, okay, which daycare? And then which curriculum? And then what price point are we comfortable with? Because expensive doesn't always mean better. I toured a daycare that was $500 more than the daycare I go to now, and it was not as nice. Like, which was very strange and shocking to me. I'm like, why was this one $500 more and it looked worse? I don't know. It was bizarre.
Yeah. So I guess we play by ear, and then it's nice summer. Like, I'll be off again for the summer in June. So it's like, then we reevaluate what we do come the next school year. Like, will they come back, or will she go to daycare at that point?
Right. Because you got summer break.
So then we have summer break. So I'm like, that will be our time where is it working? Do we like it? Do I have more anxiety with them there or less? Like, I feel like it's like almost a test run for a few months. And then we'll think of a plan by the time I go back to school next year.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that you have that summer break to work towards.
Yes.
Yeah. John's same thing. John works in the school too. So we always have his summer break to look forward to now.
Yes.
When it comes to I think you covered your biggest worry and what's stressing you out the most. you made some things to help prep Mark's parents.
Yes.
For taking care of Daisy.
Here's a picture. Here it is.
Yes, I love that. Wait, so walk us through what you've been doing to help minimize your stress, that being probably one of them.
So I think, like, very type A, like we discussed, I think, like, I like the idea of control. I don't necessarily even care if they follow the schedule. I just feel like me typing it up, printing it out and being like, here you go. And if I come home and she's like so happy and safe as can be, I don't care if they followed it. But just to just say I did it, I think made me have a better peace of mind. So I made like a routine. She's not on a very strict routine, but she's on like a semi-predictable routine by now. So I just typed like when the naps are, when she eats, how much she eats, you know, if she's fussy, here are some ways to, you know, calm her down, what type of naps she likes. That's also my worry, is I love contact naps and we've been doing them the whole entire time. His mom is a lot older, like holding her. She's a bigger girl now. Like that's probably not doable. So they're going to have to, I feel bad, figure out how to get her like in a pack and play napping. So I guess they'll learn, but I feel like I might not have set them up for the best napping.
Wait a second. I think I did the same as you. I honestly kind of blacked out the early stages, but he napped a lot on me.
Yes, that's my favorite. Like even today we did it. I'm like, I should probably try this week not to.
Yeah. Well, you just get addicted to like, they sleep. So you're like, whatever, if you're going to if you'll actually sleep, like I'll just lay there and like,
yes.
Yeah. I used to, even because I was working from home at the time, he would like nap on my chest and I would be like working around him.
Yep. I'll be like on my phone scrolling. I'm like, this is fine. I could watch TV. I could scroll, but she's sleeping on me. So
yeah,
that part is giving me anxiety, but it's like, if they hold her, they hold her. If she does a bassinet, she does a bassinet, crib, whatever they want to try.
So what else is on your sheet?
So then I have, you know, about diaper changes, emergency contact numbers. And then I have, because I think, you know, because they're older, I don't think they're going to want to use my like tracking apps on my phone. So I have a printed out, like how many ounces did she have? What time? When was the nap? Where was the nap? How long was the nap? And then diapers. So I think she'll like this all printed and she could just, you know, write it in every day. It seems like she's more that type than she is to go into an app and figure out how to do that. So, And then at the end of each day, it'll be nice. I could like read over this and see how it's going. So yes. I think that's going to go in a binder. And then I feel like they'll follow it, at least for the most part. And then they'll find what works for them.
I love that. I love that you're flexible. Again, similar with our personalities. Like, I'm not controlling, but I like control.
That's what I think. That's exactly how I would say I am.
Yeah, but I'm also flexible. Like, same thing. When my mother-in-law watched Archie, I did the schedule thing. She didn't follow it. But I was happy when I came home and he was happy and everything. But you know what's funny about the checklist you made? I used to nanny and I used to watch like young babies like back in college and in my early 20s. I would have loved that. Like if a mother handed me that, I would have loved that, because it's just a guideline. Because think of it as a caretaker, you walk into this baby's life and you're like, I don't know what you like.
Yeah, exactly.
Do. Like, what do we do? Like, when do you? Yes, yeah, so I'm sure they'll appreciate having the schedule.
I think they'll like it.
Yeah.
So I started with that. Then I also like went a little Costco crazy, stocked the house with like diapers, toilet paper, burp cloths, you know, formula, snacks for them, tea, things that she likes to have, just so that I feel like, okay, I don't have to go shopping a week after I work. Like everything is all set for maybe hopefully a month or so. So I think that made me feel good knowing that they have all the supplies they would need and I don't have to worry about, you know, going after work and rushing to try to do that while I'm working. What else? Oh, I practiced leaving the house, which really helped.
I love that.
I put Mark in charge for the day and I was like a ghost. So I like left when I should have left for work. Went to, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, Target, all those things. Got a few things done and kind of just let him do it so I could see how I do and see how he does. And I feel like that helped the anxiety a little bit, just because I was out and about and I realized I was concentrating on the things I was doing and I wasn't like really thinking about what's going on at home. So I hope that translates into work.
Yeah, that's so good that you practice that. What is it called? Exposure therapy?
Exposure therapy. I think that is the best. So as a school counselor, I love that stuff. Exposure therapy, I think, is the best thing you could do with so many different things. So Yeah. Little things at a time. Leave the house for 2 hours. Leave the house for 3 hours. Go like somewhere for dinner. Maybe do an overnight and then, you know, get used to more and more and more until it feels good. So I think that's been helping. I go to Dunkin' every morning. That's like been my thing. Probably a very expensive thing, but I leave every morning and Mark hangs out with Daisy for like 30 minutes. And I just sit in the car, as you know, and do my little coffee chats just like chill. So that's like always been my getaway. And like, I guess that kind of helps me with leaving her because I do it every day. So that's been good. So I would definitely suggest taking time for yourself and like practicing as much as you can. Obviously, this depends on if you have a partner at home or what the situation is. But if you do, then trying to get out as much as possible, just like for even like little trips.
Yes, you explained that so well too. So for our listeners, exposure therapy, the best way to describe it is when so I'm in therapy, very open about that. And I have anxiety with leaving Archie, kind of similar to the situation with like, not that I leave him with anyone I don't know, but with my mother-in-law, I had to work up to her watching him without me being around. So I used to have to sit in the same room as she watched him. And as it comes out of my mouth, it sounds psycho. But no. It's just anxiety. It was just my anxiety.
Yeah, it's different to see someone else taking care of your child, especially when it's not your own family. Like,
yeah, yes, direct exactly. Family. It's not my mom. So what my therapist recommended was this exposure therapy where maybe I leave him for an hour and I'm upstairs for an hour. And then I'm upstairs for 2 hours. And then maybe I leave the house for 10 minutes. Like, just like Jamie was explaining, it's just literally like a little bit exposure. And then you start to build that threshold. And now it really does, like, it does work. And it's so funny. You can be so skeptical of the process. But it's like, I remember I had to, like, I was feeling like super anxious one day. And I was like, I just have to trust the process. So it does.
It's a good one. I think like from little kids to adults, like that's one of the best. I think it's CBT focused, cognitive behavioral therapy. Like with the little kids at school, like if they're scared of heights, like it's like, all right, let's do one step. Let's do two steps. Let's take an elevator. Let's do this. Like it's just like little things leading up to the scary thing. And then they realize throughout that, like, oh, it's not as scary if I just take it one by one.
Yes. So if you're listening and you have a thing that you're particularly anxious about, we're not therapists, but Google exposure therapy and try to practice it. It does work. And I also love that you mentioned Dunkin'. You said, oh, it's probably very expensive. But you know what, girl? That's your self-care, okay?
You know, it's like $3 a day. I could do it.
Yeah.
If I spend $3 on self-care a day, that's probably not the worst thing I could be doing.
There are more expensive self-care hobbies out there. I think that's awesome. I love it. And if you follow Jamie on Instagram, and if you're not, I will link her everything in the show notes. But she does these really great coffee chats in the morning. And I love just setting them on audio because it sounds like I'm on the phone with a friend every morning. Like, you know, it feels...
It's my favorite part of my page.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And I can tell you have a super engaged audience too.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually kind of like bouncing around a little bit, but something Jamie did when she was still pregnant that I still remember was she posted this thing on her Instagram about like everyone mothers and everyone parents differently. And you were almost premising your audience of like whatever choices I make.
Yeah.
Please respect them. Do you remember? You remember
yes,
that post?
So I was just worried because I feel like you hear the word mom shaming all the time. And I'm like, oh God, like, I don't want to be too scared to share. Like, I love sharing everything. I'm pretty like very genuine on my page. Like I'll share that, you know, maybe Daisy will sleep in our bed sometimes and stuff like that. And while I was pregnant, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to be able to share because I just don't want judgment. So I put out like a statement, I guess, like, hey guys, like I'm going to be a mom soon. Whatever I choose to do, it's just what I am doing. Like you don't need to copy it. You don't need to do anything like me. You don't need to agree with me. Whatever you're doing is also amazing if it works for you. But like, I would really love if you don't agree with something to just be kind and maybe not say something unless I'm doing that car seat wrong. Yes. I want you to tell me because I am all about safety. If anything I do is not safe, that is when you interject. I don't need to hear that, you know, my diapers are not the best thing because maybe they are not for you, but they work for me. So I kind of set up the audience to like kind of be on my side. And honestly, like I could say like maybe one person shamed me for not like trying breastfeeding longer than I did. And that's about it. Throughout 5 months, I got one mean comment about me not wanting to really breastfeed because it wasn't working.
So it was kind of like community rules almost. And I really respect that.
I just am so about like every baby's different. Every mom is different. Every family's different. Every environment is different. Every like lifestyle is different. Like no one is the same at all. So you just have to do what works for you. What we show online, like we're just showing you our life. We're not telling you to go copy it.
Yeah.
One girl, actually, just a small little thing is I order like, let's say like, you know, a Dunkin' coffee with two pumps of like brown sugar cookie and two creams. Like I keep saying like, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. Some girl was like, I tried your coffee and it wasn't sweet enough. I'm like, then order another pump. If you like sweet coffee, girl, go get yourself another pump or put some sugar in it. You do not follow what I say. I'm just sharing my favorite thing.
Oh my God. And what cracks me up is like, I actually think your coffees are very sweet. Like I'm not.
That's used what I was to. Like, oh man, if you don't think that's sweet, oh boy.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wait a second. Because I think I tried your coffees one day and I was like, holy moly. Like this is so sweet.
What I think it just showed is like, when it comes to influence, like I watch influencers, you watch influencers. Yeah. Like I would call myself a very micro influencer, but it's like, you can't do what they're doing exactly and think you're going to like it just the same.
No. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. It's that's like
that's
whole...
totally not about our topic, but I was
no,
like,
it's okay.
Just weird to say, like, it's hard to navigate being a mom online because it's a judgy community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm very happy with my followers. Like, yeah, that one comment, it was like my elementary school's mother who said it. I was like, all right, we don't need to hear about why you don't think I'm a smart person for not breastfeeding.
Yeah. Do you know if you were breastfed or were you?
I was not. Actually, like none of my aunts breastfed. Like, so I was not, my mom was just, she kind of was like, I don't know if you're going to like it. Like, it doesn't seem to be your thing because you like to know how much you're feeding. Like you're going to want to know those ounces. Mm-hmm. You know, that goes back to the control with breastfeeding. You don't really know how much the baby's getting. And I had my mom in my head in the hospital when I had her, but like, it really made me anxious when I had no idea if she was getting food or not when she was eating.
That's actually a good point. I breastfed, but we also formula fed right from the hospital. And it was because I didn't know if he was eating enough. So same, yeah. Like literally same thing. I was like, oh, I don't know if he's eating. Like, just give him the little like 2 ounce, yeah, like, give him, you know, like, those little 2 ounce bottles. Out? I was like, I would like follow up the breastfed session with.
Yes, those little guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. I hate that. It's so personal. And I wasn't a breastfed baby. My husband wasn't a breastfed baby. Like, it is what it is, girl. Like,
and
everyone,
she's like totally fine every time we go to the pediatrician. Again, that's the one that, like, whatever works for you. If you love breastfeeding, amazing.
Yes.
If you don't, that's fine. If you pump, that's fine.
Yes, we love it all. We love your choice. When you're empowered by your choice and you feel good, just like, I feel like people need to remember, like, they are the main characters in their story, just yes. like we are the main characters in ours. So don't tell me what to do. Like,
yes. So yeah, that was a good post I did. I was happy. At first I was like, am I going to sound really mean putting up this disclaimer? And it actually was very well received. And people still to this day, if I don't ask a question and someone's like, I hate to tell you this, but they'll preface it like, I'm not giving you advice, but so they're like careful when I don't ask for like a question, like I don't ask a question and they like are very kind with how to go about it.
Hey everyone, it's your host, Lena Forrestal, taking a quick break from this podcast episode to ask you to support the show. I do this show because I love it, and as a self-funded creator, your support can help me pay for things like podcast hosting and an editor. So here's how you can help. Share this episode with a mom friend, caretaker, or soon-to-be mom friend. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you wanted to throw me some coins, you can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Any little bit helps, and I appreciate your support. Finally, give me a follow on Instagram at Lena Forrestal. I love meeting my listeners, so definitely send me a DM and introduce yourself. Now, let's get back to the show. Did you get any, just curious, did you get any slack for that co-sleeping post you did? And just a premise for the audience, Jamie posted a photo, and this was something I did also with Archie, so it actually brought back really fond memories. She posted a photo of Daisy sleeping in between Mark and her, and she just looked so happy with her little arms out with her little hands out.
I told myself, like, literally before I had her, I was like, I will never have this baby in my bed. Oh my God. I can't believe people could do this. This is ridiculous. That bassinet is there for a reason. LOL. All this stuff in my head. I was like, Mark, we will never do it. Mark grew up in the Philippines. So his mom told me, like, the only place these babies slept were in the bed with us. Like, that is a cultural thing, is that bed sharing is totally a thing over there. Yep. So Mark was like, you know, like, I literally slept in my parents' bed, and that's the norm over there. And our norm over here, obviously, I mean, yes, safe sleep is 100% important. And yes, I do think there are safe ways to do the bed sharing. So yeah, Daisy sometimes will not sleep in that bassinet, and there's nothing else I could do but get her in the bed with us for a few hours. Do I sleep very well? Probably not, but she's sleeping. And we do it in that, like, C position, if you look online. I don't want to promote it, but, like, there's a way you could do it safely that you can't turn over on the baby. So me and Mark practice that all the time. And no, people were very nice about it. Like, that's why I'm, like, shocked. Every time I share something that I'm like, I don't know about this, and people do not judge me, I'm like, this is why I share so much stuff, is because people are respecting what I am doing, I guess.
That's wonderful. And I love that you mentioned that that's culturally, like, in other countries, in the Philippines, you said Philippines, right?
Yeah.
It's common to bed share. I did so much research on, like, bed sharing and co-sleeping. And what I found was, in other countries, beds aren't as soft in the US. Yeah. Like, US has, like, famously very soft, you know, like the pillow top mattresses.
Yes.
Like, yes. Those are very dangerous for little ones, of course. And that's why I think that's why the pediatricians recommend no bed sharing. But there are, like Jamie said, like, ways you can do it softly. Like, we didn't throw out our mattress. We have, like, a guest place, but we bought a new mattress when Archie was about Daisy's age, like 4 or 5 months. We found the same thing. She just slept better in a bed with us, and he still sleeps in our bed, and he's 20 months.
Yeah.
I personally just love it because it feels like the most natural thing. Like, it feels like my baby should be next to me. And yeah, everyone, we're not promoting co-sleeping, but we are talking about it as options that work for us, and there are safe ways to do it. Obviously, like, don't drink and co-sleep.
Yes.
Like, that's,
like, yeah, like, I had a glass of wine the other night and I refused to do it. I was like, whether she's crying in that bassinet, I'm not getting her in the bed, even after one glass of wine.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, I know not to do that.
Yeah, I was the same way.
Yeah, Google it. Again, this is one of those things that you don't listen to us for anything. You just kind of hear our side and then make your own decisions.
So actually, on the topic of Instagram, you are very transparent about your mental health and how you've recently started experiencing intrusive thoughts and anxiety. Has this happened throughout postpartum, or has it just started to happen now going back to work?
So I would say I was not diagnosed, but I would say pregnant, I was probably depressed. I was not a happy pregnant person.
Like, I remember that.
It was my most miserable time of my life. And I feel horrible because I was also so lucky to have Daisy in the end. But my mood was 100% not me at all. I, like, never wanted to leave the house. I think we've talked about this before, like, eating disorder, body image stuff, growing every day was not easy for me. Like, that, I just didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want, you know, comments that people just say when you're pregnant. So I literally was a hermit in the house throughout my whole pregnancy because I was terrified of just random comments from people. And maybe they wouldn't say them, but I was just so anxious about them. When Daisy came out, like, literally, birth was the most amazing experience of all of pregnancy. I, like, felt like myself again. My mental health in an instant felt better. So, like, I would say for a good 3 months, I was, like, on top of the world. Best mental health I've ever had in my life. Oh my God, I hope this continues. And then I think when I started thinking about going back to work, I just kept, like, having these random thoughts in my head, like, oh, what if my mother-in-law falls down the stairs with her? What if my mother-in-law drops her off the changing table? What if Mark doesn't unplug his computer and a wire is near Daisy, like, when she rolls? Like, weird things that, like, probably wouldn't happen, but probably have happened before. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, they just would pop in my head in the middle of the night and I'd be like, okay, I have to fix this. Like, what could I do? So controlling Jamie is like, so are you sure you want to go upstairs? And they're like, nah, we'll stay on the first floor. So I'm like, okay, I don't have to think about the stair problem, but like, that doesn't really, that's a band-aid, I would say, for my issue. But I tried to find solutions of how I could not be anxious going back to work. Like literally we moved Mark's computer and everything in the room so that the wires are far away. But I don't think my thoughts are normal. I don't think every single mom is having these random thoughts come into their head that are kind of just a little extreme almost. Like a constant one I have is like, if I'm walking Daisy, we live kind of on a main road. So I have to go down my driveway to get to the sidewalk. And I'm always like, what if I let go for a second of the stroller? Like, is it going to roll into the road? Like that one's a common thought that is in my head every time I go for a walk. So I would say, I guess, triggered of going back to work when I'm not going to be with her.
Yeah, I feel for you. That's the driveway one is one I struggle with as well. I live on a very busy road and cars go very, very fast. And I do have a slight like decline. Like
That's what we have, hill. Like an incline.
Yeah. And I loathe it. If there's one thing I really hate about our house and where we live, it's that. And I feel for you. I actually had the very same intrusive thoughts, like very similar, the stairs dropping. Like when Archie was a newborn, I could not, like when my mother-in-law would come over and hold him, I would panic. Yeah,
that's been me sometimes. Like I like can't, I pace around them and like I can't walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. If you ever, I feel like there's like videos on the internet. Like if you ever seen a dog whose puppies are like in trouble or like being held by someone, a dog that just keeps pacing anxiously and panting, that's like me or was me. I don't want, for listeners, I don't want to say that it's not normal, but
it's not normal, but I think I should seek, if it continues, I think it would be in my best interest for my mind to maybe talk to someone about it.
Yes. Intrusive thoughts, they shouldn't be, it shouldn't be like this. Like we shouldn't have to, like my personal opinion is we shouldn't have to suffer with intrusive thoughts. And I struggle with the same. And that's why, therapy is.
I would say they're very normal, postpartum or not.
Yeah.
But if it's affecting your life or if it's continued, like that was affecting my sleep. So I tried to do a few things to like manage my stress. So I think once I go back to work, I'm pretty good at like self-awareness. So if I feel like this is controlling my workday, I'm thinking about all these things going on that probably are not going on, then I probably will be seeking a therapist to just talk them out.
Thank you so much for sharing about anxiety and intrusive thoughts. And if anyone out there has these thoughts too, know that you should try to talk to someone, because when I had postpartum anxiety and I had intrusive thoughts in the beginning, I didn't know that it wasn't normal. It's almost like I lived in an alternate universe, like alternate reality. I feel like anxiety can get that bad where you can't actually identify, this is an intrusive thought. And I still get them. And I can at least now say like, this is an intrusive thought. And I like force my brain to like think of something else.
That's what I like. If they come into my head, I use CBT, again, cognitive behavioral therapy. I'll like take this little man or woman in my head that has like a hammer almost and like beat up the anxiety in my head. It works at nighttime somehow. Like usually when I feed Daisy in the middle of the night is when thoughts come, because I'm just like awake and tired.
Yes.
So that's when they mostly come. And then it's like she'll go back to bed and I'm just laying there. And then that's when my thoughts come. So I'll like close my eyes and imagine just like this thing beating up the anxiety and like literally getting it out of my head. And it kind of works.
I love that. I never thought about that. I'm going to try that.
It works. I don't know. Or I imagine like going on this awesome vacation and I'll like imagine everything from like my coffee in the morning to like a margarita later on. And that kind of helps.
Yeah, right. Because you're visualizing almost a different story.
Yeah.
Like if there's a movie, because when I talk to my therapist, I'm like, it's like a movie in my head and I imagine everything that happens in my scary scenario. And not to get too graphic, but if I, you know, obviously worst case scenario is child loss, I'll imagine everything from the loss to the hospital to planning the funeral to crying to like, what does it look like afterwards? It's messed up, like the entire story, the movie that plays in my head. And when I describe this to her, she goes, then play a different movie. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm like, that's, it sounds like, duh, play a different movie, but it's almost like you stand witness to, you don't have control over your thought. That's anxiety. It like snowballs.
Yes. That's like, I mean, I remember that as a kid. I was always terrified of like scary movies. And I remember if I saw one, I was like, let me combat that with a Disney show. Like, and it worked. Like, okay, I fell asleep watching a Disney show that was happy instead. Like, so now as adults, when the scary, nightmarish kind of thoughts come, then you got to combat it with something a little bit more happy.
Wait, that is so true. I love that. I remember calling it like rinsing. Like if I watched the scary show, I would have to watch like something stupid or funny afterwards. It's like to rinse my thoughts.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, that's true. Like literally play a different movie in your head. So usually what I do, and I know this is going to sound so dumb, I try to visualize Instagram reels that I want to make to stupid audios I find. And that's why I have so many dumb Instagram reels now.
Your reels are very on point lately.
they're very stupid, but they come out of these like anxious moments that I'm like, think of something else. So it's very interesting. I love that you, well, probably because you're a school counselor, but you're so familiar with all these cognitive behavioral therapy strategies. And it does help.
It's helpful. You like just practice things until it is a reality almost. Like, and then I actually heard on another podcast, they were talking kind of about something similar. And they said like, how many of these intrusive thoughts have actually happened? Like how many walks have you been on? And you know, the stroller has gone into the road. Oh, I've probably taken like 100 walks and 0 times it's happened. It's like, think about how many times you did something and that thought did not happen, which I was like, huh, that's a good one. That like, yeah, I was like mind blown when I heard that. I was like, you are right. Every single thought I've had in my head has never happened. And yes, maybe it's happened to someone else or, you know, it could happen. But like, I've walked Daisy 100 times at least now. And that stroller has not, you know, rolled into the road.
Yes, that's a good point. My therapist usually says that too. She goes, usually like if there's a catastrophic event, like I don't like flying. And she's like, you know, between like the plane going down and like you sitting on the plane, like a bunch of other things have to happen before that. Like, I don't know. That's probably not a good scenario. Yeah. But yeah, it's like you were saying, like you've done this how many times and it hasn't happened. So
like Daisy's been changed like what, 10 times a day on that changing table and I've never dropped her off it. 10 times 5 months is a lot of times. So it's like, why am I worried about that? I've not fallen down my stairs and I am dumb and I wear socks on them and they're wood floor. Like I probably should have fallen down the stairs by now and I haven't. So like that should not be a thought.
I have a scary staircase too. I slept on the bottom floor of our house for the first 8 weeks that Archie was a newborn. I slept horribly.
That's what I was going
to do. Yeah, because I have this scary staircase. The other thing my therapist said was, what's realistically going to happen? Because I was talking about like my mother-in-law watching him and something catastrophic happening. And she's like, you know, what's more likely than the end scenario that you're imagining? Maybe he might bump his head. Maybe he might, you know, get a scratch. Maybe like there was like, it was almost like that step process of what's most likely to happen versus the catastrophic
event.
That's
actually helped me a lot. It's like, you know, maybe she misses a nap. Maybe her diaper goes through into her onesie. Like these little tiny things, like in the scheme of thing, they're not big. Like, yeah, that could happen during the day. Like these little things could definitely happen. But like the big scary things you're thinking about are probably not going to happen.
Yeah. And your caretaker, like whoever your caretaker is, like doesn't want bad things to happen either. Like they do not want anything bad to happen with a child in their care. I feel like when I was a nanny and like 22 and honestly dumb, the fact that I was able to take care, I took care of kids like Archie's age and I didn't know anything that I was doing, but I somehow did it and moms loved me.
Yeah.
So I feel like I try to bring myself back to that too. It's like, I wasn't very smart. Like, I think I co-slept with like a 9-month-old once when I was watching him. Like I put him down for a nap in his bed. Like he had a bed and I was like, well, I guess I'll just nap with him. Like this sounds normal to me. But yeah, I feel like that's the other thing to remember too, is caretakers don't want anything bad to happen to your kid.
So I think like with 6 days left, I think my mindset is more in the positive direction. Like I feel like I've gone through the sadness, the crying. Like I'll sit, like yesterday I sat with Daisy, like she could understand, like I'm gonna be going to work next week, like I'm going to love you just as much. Like, I literally just talked it out. Like, now I'm going to cry. But like, it's just like, I felt like better telling her that, even though she's a little 5 month old, but like, she's just looking at me like, don't worry, it's totally fine. Like, so that was a cute moment. It's like,
oh, I feel like I'm going to cry.
No, I feel like, ugh. It's like when I think about it, yes, I'm going to cry. And when I talk to her like that, I cry, but it's like, she's going to be in good hands. I'm going to be at work and I'm going to come home and we have time together. So it's like every time past four, like tonight we just read Rainbow Fish and she's like looking up at me and I'm like, it's 7 o'clock. We get this every single night. Like, this is a moment that we're going to get. So every time it's like a moment past 4 p.m., I kind of like note it in my head. Like, I get this moment. Like, I'm always going to get the book time with her. I'm always going to get bath time with her. Like, these are happy things that are going to still happen. Like, at first I was like, you know, when I go back to work, like my motherhood ends. It like felt like it was just ending. Mm-hmm. It was being ripped out of me. Like, that whole time with her is just gone. Like, what am I going to do? And then now it's like, there's still so many moments you could have. Like, even if you only have 3 hours until they go to bed, I won't even care if she wakes up in the middle of the night. Like, I'll take her and I'll hug her. And like, we'll get that. So it's like, I do, I know, what is it? Toxic positivity. Yes, I definitely do that a little bit. But at this point, I feel like it's working for me because I just need to think of the happy parts.
Oh, I don't think that's toxic.
Not toxic. I just, I feel like, I'm a very optimistic, like my whole family, like me all too. That stuff. So I like thinking of what are the good things? Like, it's awesome. My husband gets to watch her. Like, it's awesome. My mother-in-law gets to come over. It's great. I could still have a job. Like, it's great. I have a job at all. Like, I'm having our insurance for the family. Like, there's so many positives of it that come out of it. Yeah. And I feel like, I think you could agree. Like, you also know my friend Molly. It's like, you almost are like a superhero. You're working, you have a baby, you're, you know, having dinner, you're doing all these things. Like, you probably feel so accomplished that like, I feel like I'm going to thrive off that feeling, I hope.
Yeah. I like definitely teared up when you were talking because it brought me back to those same thoughts and moments too, and those same conversations with Archie. And I remember even thinking like, do I go back to work? Like,
that's what my mom
is this
goes
for me.
Jamie, whatever you do not quit that first week. My mom had a talk with me yesterday. Cause like, I'm not that impulsive, but like, she's like terrified that I'm going to like hand in my quitting notice on like next Friday and be like, I'm done. I'm staying home. And she's like, whatever you do, you have to give it like the whole year. Like, don't just quit. I was like, oh, I'm not going to quit, Mom. Like, it's fine.
I mean, good. It's a good talk.
It was a nice talk. I'm like, I didn't realize my mom was so scared I was going to quit my job the first week.
You definitely, like, if you were a career, like, I was a career gal all my life, like, loved working, loved being in corporate. And those first couple weeks, I did question everything. But what I tried to, like, also, like, I, like, held Archie's face and I was like, Mommy's doing this to give you a future. Yes.
Like, that's what I'm like, we could have cuter clothes, Daisy. We could go on more trips. Like, we could, you know, have yummier foods. Like, we get so much more from me going back to work. And if you don't go back to work, like, that's amazing too. You're at home with your kids. But it's like,
yes,
again, both sides. Like, I really like to see both sides of everything. It's like, there is no best way. It's just what works for you. But like, I feel like me bringing in an income will also get us, you know, to go to Disney World in 2 years, maybe, or like we could do some of those things because we do have the extra money.
Yeah. And that exactly, like, every family is so different. Like, everyone, like, it's so personal. That's why personal finance is called finance. So
my
personal.
Least favorite topic. I'll never come on here and talk about money.
Good to know. She's not our money guest.
No.
But no, I'm the same way. Like, I figure right now what's best for my family is that we do bring in two incomes because I like also like very admittedly, I got used to a certain kind of lifestyle that I wasn't ready to give up. So that's why I really wanted to keep working because I'm like, I don't want to have to like budget more. Like, you know what I mean? Financial flexibility was more important to me than I think I like tried it out and it was. It works. I don't want to say like selfishly, like at 20 months, and I'll have to get your opinion when Daisy's.
Oh, no. I can't imagine.
I only imagine Daisy as like a baby.
I can't even believe she's already almost 5 months. Like every day, it's like, oh my God, she's getting so old. It's crazy.
Yeah. At 20 months, I am. excited for that time. Like, even if I am working, like, it does feel nice to have that kind of break from toddlerhood. Is like a whole different stage. Yeah. But I'm like, all right. And then you know what? When he does come home at 4, I can be like the most present.
That's what I keep hearing. Like, there's so much more quality time, like from 4 to 7, than me like trying to find 100 activities to do from 7 to 7. Like, we literally try 100 things a day, and it's like, it's hard to keep that energy up, but it's like, if you only have 4 to 7, you're going to make it quality time.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I know. I remember thinking like, what do I do with you?
Yeah. Like, I'm like,
like, how many books can I read?
Yeah.
You?
It's like, they get bored so easily. You have to like be dancing, talking, singing all day long. It's like, okay, I might enjoy a little break and like a break to like go to the bathroom without having to like find a place to put her. That is like a safe spot. It's like just going to be nice to do something for me, even something as little as walking from my desk to go to the bathroom without like, ooh, you need to go on the floor. Oh no, now you roll. Now you need to go in the pack and play. Like, now I could just like go to the bathroom at work. So it might be nice to have like another identity added besides mom.
Yeah. Would you classify that as like, so my last question is going to be, what are you looking forward to in this next chapter?
I think that feeling of super mom, to be like honest, like I love being busy. Aww. So it's like, I almost think I could actually do it and thrive because I'm going to be having something to do 24/7. And like, I love making dinner for Mark and all that type of stuff. Like, I'm a little domesticated wife kind of, but like, I like doing that stuff. So it's like, I'm going to be busy from morning to night that I think I'll actually like it. But obviously I'm also excited for summer when I'm off again. No.
Yes, it truly, like, that's going to be so, it's going to be such a good mix. And you'll get a little bit of the both of best
worlds.
Yeah,
I think it'll be,
right? Like, you'll get the summer with your daughter. And
yeah, I think it's just another, like, and I've also, I know I didn't mention on here, but I used to do like social media for a bunch of companies. This is my first time like working a full-time job without these side hustles. So I feel like I could like really give it my all, like do all this stuff with these other kids. And I'm also excited that now I have the parent perspective as a school counselor. So it's like, I really could empathize with these parents and their little kids. Like, I like that now I have that experience to bring back into the job.
Wow. Deep, Jamie.
These are the random things I think. Sometimes my random thoughts are good. No.
I love that. I can relate. So I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but I can relate with like loving to be busy and then having, I know you posted on your Instagram too, like you had too many things.
Yeah.
At one point.
I'm just happy I have a full-time job, wife, mom, you know, like sister, daughter. Like I don't have like 1,000 side hustles, which makes my mind feel so clear going back to work right now.
And that's what we need. Yes. We need clear minds going back to work. Well, Jamie, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the podcast. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah. And can you let everyone know where to find you?
Sure. So my last name is a little hard. So hopefully you could type this part up.
I will.
So it's JAMIE.DiVergello. D as in dog. E. V as in Victor. ERGILLO. And it is 100% always spelled wrong. And I still haven't changed my last name. So that's also a thought I have to do.
Wait, so you still haven't changed it? Like since you got married?
I still haven't changed it. And Mark's is, we both have the double L. So he's Ladas, LLADAS. And that's the part of my name I could never like say correctly. These like LL part. And I still have it with his name.
Is it, would it be Jamie Ladas or Jamie Yadas?
Yeah.
Or like with the...
So I'm bad and I cannot pronounce it as nicely as he does. So I say Ladas. He says it like really
is
nice.
Like Yadas?
More like Yadas. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can't. So that'll be a task I have to do eventually. Oh. But yeah, hopefully you write the last name because I people will miss that one.
I will include all of Jamie's contact info in the show notes. I highly recommend that you follow her on Instagram. She's super fun. She always pops up as like, I always see her content because I think I love watching you.
Thanks. Yeah, you also. It's very nice to like follow like-minded, genuine people on there and not like you know, people selling ads all the time.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, I know. That's like a topic for another day, the whole motherhood Instagram community.
Yes.
But thank you, Jamie. And you know what? Maybe after a few months of working, maybe in the summer, you can update us on how it's been going. Because I feel like everyone would love an update.
Yes, I definitely would do that.
Okay, awesome. And you know what? When this podcast goes live, Jamie will already have been at work. So you could probably check out her Instagram.
Thriving.
To see. No. Yeah, she's thriving. She's loving the time. She comes back. Oh, I'm excited to watch you.
It'll be good. I mean, who knows how I'll feel tomorrow, but today I feel good. So that's good.
That's all that matters. Live in the moment. That's what I try to do too.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And everyone, stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks for joining us this week on the New Mamas Podcast. This podcast was created to help first-time moms everywhere navigate this new stage of life and talk about the honest and the raw moments in motherhood. I'm your host, Lena Forrestal. I'm a working mom by day and a blogger, photographer, and podcaster by mid-afternoon. And as a first-time mom myself, I'm on this journey with you. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and if you did, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. You can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Stay in touch by following us on Instagram at New Mamas Podcast and Lena Forrestal. Thanks again, and stay tuned next week for the next episode. Bye!